The president's son and the Russia connection.
If there's information out there, you want it. It turns out it was nothing.
Democrats turn up the heat.
We need public testimony under oath.
A call for internet action.
Over plans to give some websites priority.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. On Twitter this morning, President Trump again called the Russia investigation the greatest witch hunt in political history, even though one of his sons has only intensified interest because of his apparent willingness to get his hands on Russian information on Hillary Clinton during the presidential campaign. Mr. Trump calls Donald Jr. innocent and transparent. CBS's Stephen Portnoy joins us now from the White House.
Well, last night, Donald Trump Jr. explained how it all came about in June of last year.
Someone sent me an email. I can't help what someone sends me.
But he told Fox News that email from an acquaintance he'd worked with in Russia certainly piqued his interest. The promise of help from Moscow, official documents, and sensitive information that would incriminate Hillary Clinton. Trump Jr. responded, if it's true, he'd love it.
For me, this was opposition research. They had something, you know, maybe concrete evidence to all the stories I'd been hearing about, but they were probably underreported for, you know, years, not just during the campaign. So I think I wanted to hear it out.
He says he probably would have done things differently, given the later focus on Russian government interference in the election. He says he got none of what he hoped to hear.
I mean, I wouldn't have even remembered it until you start scouring through the stuff. It was literally just a wasted 20 minutes, which was a shame.
Donald Trump Jr. says he'd be happy to answer more questions about this under oath, Steve.
And that's just what Adam Schiff wants. The top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee was on CBS this morning.
We're going to want to have all the participants in that meeting come and testify before the committee. It looks like the defense is going to be, yes, we had an intent to collude with Russia. We wanted to get the dirt the Russian government had in an effort to help elect Donald Trump, but we were deeply disappointed in not getting it at that meeting. That's not much of a defense.
Some Democrats believe the email bombshell is a game changer. Virginia's Tim Kaine was Hillary Clinton's running mate.
This is moving into perjury, false statements, and even into potentially treason.
A legal scholar, Jonathan Turley, says the revelations will be fuel for investigators, but may not amount to much of a case.
There's a lot of overheated rhetoric of people suggesting it could be treason, which is facially absurd, or that it could be viewed as a type of criminal federal election violation, which is quite a stretch.
Cable host Joe Scarborough, who tangled with President Trump on Twitter a few weeks ago, told Stephen Colbert on the CBS Late Show he's tired of Republicans looking the other way when the president betrays party values.
What exactly is the Republican Party willing to do? How much of this country and our values are they willing to sell out?
But aren't you a Republican?
I am a Republican, but I'm not going to be a Republican anymore. I've got to become an independent.
The Senate confirmation hearing for President Trump's choice to head the FBI gets underway this morning. CBS's Steve Dorsey is in Washington.
Christopher Wray is a veteran of the Justice Department after spending years as a federal prosecutor and rising to head of its criminal division. He's respected as even-handed and calm, but if confirmed, he'll also have to be a cheerleader for the Bureau amid concerns of sinking morale after the abrupt firing of James Comey, who was well-liked by the rank and file, and attacks on the FBI's work by President Trump.
In a blow to the Justice Department, a federal judge has stopped the planned deportation of 1,400 Iraqi nationals, many of them Christians, who fear persecution.
We are American to the people in Iraq, so we are targeted for death because they are jealous that the United States has supported us and brought us in as refugees.
That woman has two relatives who are on the deportation list. Courts will now review the case. Authorities are investigating a fight between two passengers on a Southwest Airlines flight from Austin to Chicago. The plane had just departed last night. The crew returned to the Austin airport. CBS's David Begno is in western Mississippi, where investigators are looking into the cause of the military plane crash where 16 people died.
Near the crash site, Marine supporter David Weeks honored the fallen. The tragic final moments of their lives will be etched forever in the memories of witnesses like Gary Fulgham.
I wanted to cry. You're just helpless. You don't have any control over it, and you want to help them so bad.
Witnesses said the plane was burning as it spun toward the ground. Lawyers for the Penn State fraternity members charged in connection with the death of a pledge are now having their say at a preliminary hearing. CBS's Jerika Duncan is covering.
One attorney said his client wasn't in the frat house when Timothy Piazza fell down a flight of stairs. Others argued their clients did not force Piazza to drink.
Our primary concern here is the fact that this is a case that's clearly been overcharged.
Michael Engel is representing Gary DiBilio, one of the eight fraternity members facing the most severe charges.
While Gary may be responsible for certain things, he's not responsible for the serious charges in this case.
According to a grand jury presentment, DiBilio and at least one other fraternity brother advocated for calling an ambulance, but were told Piazza's condition was typical of bid acceptance night.
We'll go to some websites today, and you'll be urged to take action in the battle over what we've come to know as net neutrality. We're live with CBS's Vicki Barker.
President Trump's FCC plans to slash the legal framework that protects online free speech and innovation that prevents a few big businesses from controlling what we see online. Tim Berners-Lee invented the World Wide Web.
If we lose net neutrality, we lose the internet as we know it.
But journalist Alex Kotosky thinks it's inevitable.
I have a terrible sense that the web has experienced its golden age and that market forces are going to impinge upon the future of the internet.
Amazon, Netflix, and Kickstarter among more than 40,000 people, sites, and organizations campaigning to save net neutrality. Steve?
Well, baseball's All-Stars worked overtime last night in Miami. It was 1-1 in the 10th inning when Mariners second baseman Robinson Cano went deep on ESPN.
Swing and a drive. Well struck. Right field. On its way. Out of here. Into the bullpen in right field.
Cano powered the American League to a 2-1 win over the National League, and he took game MVP honors. Search the term side hustle, and you'll find a host of websites with ideas for a second job to boost your earnings.
Do you have a second job to help pay the bills?
Over 44 million American adults have a side hustle, and the age group most likely to have a side hustle are younger millennials. We found that 28% of people between the ages of 18 to 26 have side hustles.
Sarah Berger, Bankrate.com, says those millennials are using their smartphones to sell on Etsy, Drive for Lyft, or work social media with direct sales companies. 35% make more than $500 a month doing it. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Well, the History Channel says it's investigating, but it stands by its documentary that suggested Amelia Earhart survived a Pacific crash landing during her round-the-world flight in 1937. A Japanese history buff says a photo that was a prime piece in the story was actually published 2 years before she disappeared. And that's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.